This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our first story this hour is also in some ways about productivity, although on a larger scale, it's really about competitiveness. Specifically, how competitive are we as a nation, especially when we compare ourselves to others in the region?
This is coming on the back of several related stories we've been seeing lately, especially since the uptick in the US-China trade war. So, for example, there have been renewed tussles over the issue of minimum wage, with the Malaysian Employers Federation saying that we shouldn't raise minimum wage until productivity goes up.
MEF, never unafraid to say the unpopular thing, or at least not in the last 2 days. Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has also said that doing business in Malaysia is tough and the government needs to make it easier by reducing administrative barriers. Separately, we also saw Dato' Sri Mustapha Mohamad, chairman of the Special Parliamentary Select Committee on the Budget, saying that the government needs to revisit several policies on promoting the country as a preferred destination for high-quality investments in the electrical and electronics sector. So all of these stories just had us thinking, we keep throwing around these words like productivity, like competitiveness, especially because we want to be seen as both productive,
yep,
as well as an alluring destination for really all the offshoots that are going to happen because of the US-China trade war. And in that sense, we look at Singapore and we're like, okay, so a lot of the high-skilled investments, a lot of the high-skilled situations are going on there. But then we also take a look around our region and we look at somewhere like Vietnam and go,
new competitor.
Yeah, really, in the same venue, in the same spaces that we want to occupy. And I was looking at all that and thinking, I don't have a very, very clear picture, unbiased picture, mm-hmm, I suppose, of where exactly Malaysia sits in all of this. How well are we actually doing? Because there are so many different markers to apply to the situation.
I mean, I think my one entry into this would likely be the reports that are generated each year about a country's productivity. In the IMD World Competitive Yearbook 2019, we were number 22 out of 63 countries. This report rates the competitiveness of countries around the world. So it showed that in Malaysia, we saw an improvement in institutional-related indicators such as bribery and corruption, transparency, bureaucracy, justice, social cohesion, and public finance in terms of ranking. So it's just suggesting perhaps that we do have a cleaner and more transparent way of running business now than we did in the past 1 to 2 years ago.
Yes, and those are important factors, but also what about cost?
You know,
so those are, I'm wondering if those are the nice to haves.
Right.
You know, as opposed to the, ultimately it's going to come down to my bottom line. You know, is it cheaper for me to do business here? So these are all the things that kind of factor into, are we competitive? Are people going to want to be here in terms of business? And to get a clearer idea of that, we have on the line with us Lawrence Todd, Director of Research and Development at the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS. Lawrence, thanks for joining us today.
Hi.
So let's first identify this issue of competitiveness, right? When we talk about that term, what exactly are we referring to? And are there different barometers and factors to consider?
Mm. Well, I mean, I was just listening to what you were discussing, and indeed you covered quite a range of different issues that come under this broad heading of competitiveness. And I think, you know, you summed it up pretty well, which is ultimately, it's quite a vague concept that's just trying to capture, you know, how easy is a place to set up and run a business compared to somewhere else? And that encompasses a vast range of things, from institutional factors like, you know, how easy is it to engage with the government? How transparent is the government? What are the government's policies, specifically in the areas of tax in particular, but also in certain business regulations? But other things too that aren't necessarily directly in the government's control. So, you know, access to finance is very important. Is there a developed banking system that allows you to raise money on the market? Infrastructure, is it easy to, you know, access the internet, access, you know, electricity and gas, and also the road network. Then it's also, and I think this is particularly important for Malaysia to bear in mind, is about the size of the actual marketplace. Because Malaysia, at the end of the day, is a kind of mid-sized country. And I think sometimes, you know, forgets that, you know, when we make this comparison with Vietnam or Indonesia, I mean, you're talking about a huge market. And that does create an additional incentive to invest there. And so that is sort of does form a part of a country's overall competitiveness. But I think the other thing just to say on top of that is, you know, it is all then, this is us just trying to understand what ultimately is made on the ground every day, a decision just by businesses. And politics and perception is always a part of that. You know, how businesses feel about a place and the signals that the society and the government sends is also crucial. So all this talk about competitiveness is the attempt to try and turn that into measurable things. But at the end of the day, we're trying to capture a picture that is constantly moving because it's the total sum of hundreds of thousands of businesses making decisions every day.
And with that said, how competitive is Malaysia in ASEAN then?
Well, you know, you referred to one of the indexes. I mean, the other one that's also very broad, of course, is the World Bank's Ease of Doing Business Index, you know, where Malaysia scored 15th and scores very highly in some areas. I mean, you know, infrastructure, I think, is very strong. I think the tax regime is competitive at a global scale, you know, compared to, say, Europe and North America, but is not so competitive within the region. I think another area where Malaysia does well regionally is human capital. You know, it's a skilled workforce, increasingly educated, you know, strong command of English. You know, that's very attractive to a lot of investors. And Malaysia does operate a very open investment regime and does have kind of a good, solid trading relation, you know, set of trading relationships through free trade agreements and ASEAN and so on, that allows Malaysia to be a good base to export to other markets. So that's, you know, a set of reasons that make Malaysia pretty competitive and sort of offset, I would say, the things that Malaysia suffers for in the region, which is, you know, a relatively smaller market compared to these big giants like Vietnam and Indonesia, increasing labor costs, again, compared to particularly Vietnam, I'd say, you know, proximity in some cases with big markets like China, which is clearly an advantage for Vietnam again. So I think Malaysia is, you know, trying to bat above its weight by investing in these important areas like infrastructure and human capital is doing pretty well in that sense.
And you mentioned there that competitiveness is broad and hard to directly measure, but it is also based in many ways on productivity, which again is another metric that is somewhat difficult to quantify, or, you know, it really does depend. What are some of the factors that affect how we understand productivity from country to country?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to say is that, you know, and you referred to the recent comments from the MEF, I think when you look at Malaysia, probably you do notice this sort of general stagnation in Malaysia's labour productivity, and that's kind of coming through in the statistics. I think the other manifestation of that is, and actually, in fact, probably the cause is something's not working in Malaysia's education system. You know, we persistently hear industry talking about skill mismatches. And actually, you know, Malaysia is producing more and more graduates, but actually youth unemployment, graduate unemployment remains quite stagnant. So there seems to be this gap in terms of the people that Malaysia's education system is producing and the skills that employers actually need in the marketplace. So I think, you know, that is one of the factors that is clearly a break on productivity, and is also why people will talk about the sort of lack of labour productivity in Malaysia, because the graduates that are coming through are not, you know, universally the people that the employers want. I think, you know, another important point to mention here is actually brain drain. I think, you know, one of the things you see in Malaysia is export quite a lot of its talent. You know, there are a lot of really great Malaysians working all around the world. There's in Malaysian companies. I mean, we all know about Grab, you know, moving to Singapore. So again, there sort of seems to be something that's not quite working in terms of retaining, you know, highly productive people, you know, the top talent and some of the top new, you know, innovative businesses too.
So when it comes to attracting high quality foreign investments, how do we compare to other countries in the region?
Well, look, I mean, I think the first thing we've got to recognise is that, you know, Malaysia does do well. And, you know, I think one thing we can say is that the government provides a very effective stewardship of the economy in that sense. I think the government's been pretty nimble in terms of making the most of the opportunities of the, you know, the recent US-China trade war, and I think that's positive. But of course, you know, there's not as much opportunity as is going towards Vietnam. And I think it's interesting because, you know, in some senses, Vietnam has some advantages that will attract that investment, including lower labour costs, it being a bigger market, you know, some of these things we've touched on. But actually, there's also another thing that's going on, which is Vietnam. The Vietnamese government is making active policy choices. You know, the most obvious example of which is, you know, they've really leaned into the CPTPP, the big regional trade deal. They ratified as soon as possible and have kind of really made willing in terms of implementation. And there's two things that happen there, crucially. So one of them is, of course, is that that changes the country's policies and that makes it more open-based to trade. But actually, and this is what, you know, I hear a lot from industry, it just sends a signal about the government's openness, and that, that kind of boosts business confidence and, you know, comes back to what we were saying right at the beginning, which is that the perception of businesses is very crucial here. You know, on the other hand, you've got Malaysia, where it's sort of said that it might ratify it, but not said when, and the Prime Minister has expressed quite a lot of skepticism. And that sort of uncertainty dampens the business mood and has quite a negative effect on perception, as well as missing out on all the sort of specific policy changes that ratification of CPTPP would entail. So I think, you know, that's a concrete example of where, you know, what Vietnam is making sort of active policy choices to widen the gap in terms of competitiveness when it already has certain structural advantages such as lower labour costs and a bigger market.
Well, there are a couple of interesting things in there, Lawrence, that I wanted to pick you up on, which is, So as you said, there are certain things that are almost universally attractive, right, when it comes to attracting foreign investment. We're talking about things like cost and, you know, labour. Those sorts of things are generally in place. But are we going to be seeing countries attempting different policies, attempting different measures in order to account for or in order to attract different sorts of investors? Because I'm thinking that some countries might be more heavily interested in transparency than others.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. I think, you know, one thing that's happening that I think is also relevant, you know, you were asking earlier about Malaysia's productivity performance. You know, I think one of the things that's going on there is that the way the economy works is changing so rapidly. I mean, the impact technology is having is huge. You know, if you think about what would have the biggest American companies have been, you know, 20 years ago, it would have been, you know, maybe Microsoft still, but otherwise it would have been oil companies, it would have been General Motors, General Electric, you know, manufacturing machinery. Now it's Google, it's Facebook, it's Amazon, it's totally different business enterprises. And I think that is massively changing. You know, that's happened very quickly. And actually how countries adapt to that and whether they try and, you know, make themselves very, very open to these new massive digital enterprises and try and find, you know, value-add niches that they can take within that economy, or whether they try and sort of shut it out and build their own, as some countries are looking at. You know, these are big, big choices, and I don't think that's that easy. One thing I would say is that at the end of the day, it does usually always come back to the quality of your people. That whether you are producing talent that can innovate, can spot opportunities, can set up a business, you know, that really is the crucial thing. So, you know, you ask what are the different choices that countries have, and for me, I think the number one priority in the long term should always be around education. And trying to produce, you know, the best, most able people, because that ultimately will always drive competitiveness in the long term.
How do we make Malaysia more open for business? You know, we also heard from Tun M suggesting that perhaps we need to reduce the amount of administration, the administrative barriers that exist. Dato Sri Mustafa Mohamed said that we need to revisit several policies on promoting the country as a preferred destination for high quality investments. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are definitely good suggestions. I mean, I think that I would also point to, I think institutional reform is actually really, really crucial, because not only does institutional reform in the, you know, and by that I'm talking about, you know, addressing corruption particularly, not only is that really important because it improves business efficiency, you know, there's no more kind of leakage as a result of bribery or payments or whatever. It just dramatically improves business confidence, particularly foreign business confidence, that they know it's a fair place to come and do business. So I would put institutional reform right up at the top of the list. A really good example of that, again, is within the procurement I think the government has set out a good reform plan on procurement, and I think it's really important to stay very committed to that. I think that's one of the areas where, in the next 2 or 3 years, that will be a key test of how successful the Pakistan government has been in terms of structural reform, if it can, you know, really address the and clean up the procurement sector. I think, you know, an area where the government is doing less, and I think it would be good to look at, is the sort of the presence of GLCs. I think that also raises some concerns for businesses because they don't know exactly what this means. You know, why does the government have such a presence in the economy? Are those businesses going to be favoured? And even if they're not, you know, even if it doesn't actually turn in, you know, that there isn't patronage actually happening, it affects the confidence and it affects perception. So I think, you know, that's another area that I would certainly look at. I think on the regulation side, there are definitely cases. Sometimes I think Malaysia can move a bit too fast. I think a good example is e-hailing. So we've got these new regulations coming into force on the 12th of July, I think. The government expects that this is going to reduce the number of Grab drivers on the road by like 30, 40%. This is just clearly not the right regulation. So we just hit pause for 6 months, tweak it, and that's no problem. So I do think there is a general cultural approach that the Malaysian government could adopt with respect to regulation that would improve things. But then in the longer term, I would come back to education and the need to reform education, improve autonomy, particularly in the higher education sector, and focus on, you know, developing creativity and analytical skills throughout the primary and secondary system.
Lawrence, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Lawrence Todd, Director of Research and Development at IDEAS, weighing in on, I guess, a report card of sorts in terms of what we're doing right, whether we're competitive in trying to get and attract foreign investment, in trying to just get an edge over everyone else in the region, because we are in a very tightly packed little corner of the world. Let us know your thoughts. Are we competitive as a nation? Do you think that we're doing enough at the moment? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.